We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary. Joining us now, as he does most Saturdays, is our news analyst, James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic. Welcome, Jim. So good to have you and good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you, Lynn, and welcome back to your show.
Thanks. It's been a long time since I've done it. Now, I know that you have a special love for all things Google and China, and there was news on both fronts this week with China renewing Google's license to operate in that country. So how big a deal is this?
I think it's potentially significant, and at least at face value, it's fairly positive. The showdown between Google and the Chinese government has been building over the past 6 months, ever since Google announced it would no longer comply with Chinese requests that Google itself censor web results for users in China. And the climax came this month because the Chinese government had to decide whether or not to renew Google's permit to operate in China at all. And Google has found ways to maintain its principles while complying with the letter, though not the spirit of Chinese law by redirecting people to a site in Hong Kong. And the news was the Chinese government said, okay, we think this is sufficient and you can go ahead. It's good, I think, for users in China. They can still take advantage of the service. And it suggests that the Chinese government was not ready to go sort of to the next step of all-out showdown with Western information sources and Western values and all the rest.
And what does this mean in terms of Chinese censorship of search results?
In practical terms, it really doesn't make any difference for any user inside China. The minority of people inside China, including foreigners who really want to or have to get to the outside unfiltered web, can do so through a variety of means. Most other users in China who don't want to go to that bother still will have censored search results. The difference, as a matter of principle, is that now the Chinese government is doing it with its so-called Great Firewall, as Google's results come in from its servers in Hong Kong, rather than Google itself doing the censoring as it had been doing before at Chinese request from its servers inside China.
So, Jim, I think I should mention that usually when we do these chats, you're in Washington, but this week you're in Aspen, Colorado, where you're attending the Aspen Ideas Festival, which is co-sponsored by The Atlantic. The point of the festival is well, at least part of it, is to explore issues in the news. And, of course, the BP oil spill is still very much in the news. So has there been any discussion about that?
There's been a tremendous amount of discussion. There have been ecological discussions and what this means in the long term for managing the oceans and so on. What to me has been the most newsworthy presentation is one that obviously had a self-interest because it was several executives from Shell Oil making the presentation, and Shell is an underwriter of this conference, but it was quite compelling at face value because they went through chapter and verse the way that Shell drills and designs its deep water oil wells and what happened in the BP well that has caused this catastrophic loss. And when showing their own wells, they said, okay, here is level one of the redundant safety feature, and here's level two, and here's level eight, and here's level 12. And then they showed the comparative well that has had this disaster with many, many fewer of the safety features. And the contrast in these two well designs was quite striking, and I'm surprised as a consumer of news I haven't seen more places, and I hope actually I will soon.
And also I hear that on another story, an official from the United Arab Emirates attending the festival made some surprising remarks about Iran. What was that all about?
Yes, the UAE's ambassador to the U.S., Ambassador Al-Taiba, was being interviewed by Jeff Goldberg of The Atlantic, who asked him a direct question to which you very rarely get a direct answer in diplomacy. The direct question was, how would your country feel if either Israel or the United States took direct military action against Iran to prevent it from building nuclear weapons? And the ambassador said, well, that would be a catastrophe, but the only worse catastrophe would be essentially it not happening and Iran developing nuclear capabilities. And there was a tremendous amount of flap after that. The government back home in the United Arab Emirates said, well, we didn't mean it quite that way out of context. There was Iran was having a diplomatic remonstrations against the UAE. It was dramatic both in showing the complexity of the decision that the U.S. faces on the Iranian situation and also how rare it is to hear diplomats speaking undiplomatically.
Jim Fallows is national correspondent for The Atlantic and our regular news analyst. Jim, thanks so much. Great talking with you.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Lynn.